In the spirit of reconciliation, we acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community.
We pay our respect to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
Can I sit with you?
Yes, you can sit with me.
And we want you to sit with us. It's Dom.
And Ella.
You may know us from finding love on reality TV, and by that we mean with each other.
Two best friends figuring out life.
Chatting all things reality TV, because, I mean, how could we not?
And all things in between. Sex, relationships, dating, and navigating being a female in the world.
Unfiltered and fabulous advice from your two besties.
I do think that my poo smell differently.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Sit With Us.
Welcome back, everyone. Can you believe it? We are actually season 2, episode 60.
What?
I know. Very exciting.
Oh, my God. Episode 60. 6-0. Whoa. Yeah.
Big gains, babe. We're getting there with the game. Gains. Whoa. God, get the words out, Dom.
We are gaining over here. And if you don't already, follow us on socials. Our Instagram is Sit With Us The Pod. And on Facebook, you can join our page. It is Sit With Us The Podcast, where we talk about all the episodes and more.
We talk about everything. We just talk shit on there, which, I mean, who doesn't love doing that?
You know what I mean? We're all about that.
So, but how's your week been? What's new with you?
What's new with me? Well, I actually don't know. First of all, where did we pick up that voice? Is it Kath and Kim?
I feel like we've taken that voice or that like kind of tone from Kath and Kim, definitely. And then we've just evolved it to be something, and I don't know where.
It's just like I feel like other people do it. I think it might be a thing.
I think it's definitely Kath and Kim. It's from Prue and True.
Oh, and Prue and True.
Yeah, do you know like the two best friends that work at the shop together and talk about going to Brighton and
oh my God,
like,
I love it.
Where she goes, you know, you're Miley. Guys, we are obviously, if you can't tell, we're huge Kath and Kim fans. I actually don't know if people love Kath and Kim as much as we do.
I mean, can confirm Guy doesn't love it.
Why?
But he's watched it all.
Of course he has, because you play it all the time and so you should.
And he doesn't say to turn it off. Like, he actually thinks it's quite funny. And we do talk about, like, whenever we go through phases, right, whether it's, like, Kath and Kim, The Office, Seinfeld. That's, like, our rotation for bedtime.
And, you know, quick little trivia here is that Kath and Kim fans actually demanded Netflix to not take it off the platform. So Kath and Kim is still up there because they were like, oh, you know, it's only going to be up until so-and-so date. But the fans rallied and said, no, you are not taking Kath and Kim down off Netflix, and it's still up there for all of us to enjoy. And so it should be. It just brings so much joy to me. I love it. Like, I could just put on any episode. Look, it's going to stay.
It's going to stay. And so is that voice that we throw in there on the occasion.
Yes. Look, a big week. Big week happening here. When this episode goes live, I will officially have undergone my transformation for World's Greatest Shave. And yes, I am still wearing my World's Greatest Shave t-shirt because I've been wearing it every fucking day. And every person that I can start a conversation with, I show them the QR code and try and get donations, because
it's really exciting.
When this episode goes live, the transformation will have happened.
And how are you feeling about it?
I'm a little bit nervous.
You are?
I'm nervous because for a few reasons. I really like where I've got my hair at the moment. Like, I'm loving how it's looking. But also I'm nervous because doing this transformation, I'm going to keep calling it transformation because you guys don't know actually what's going to look like. Mm-hmm. How is it going to change my style? How is it going to change the way I do my makeup? How is it going to change the way that I dress? Because, you know, our hair does play a huge part into all of that. So it's all of that stuff surrounding this big transformation that I'm nervous about. Mm. And it's made me really reflect, though, on what people that actually go through cancer treatment and have to shave their hair and have to deal with all of that amongst the diagnosis of having blood cancer.
I know.
So for me, I'm putting that all into perspective and just thinking how lucky and blessed I am, number one, that I'm fit and healthy and that I'm, you know, doing World's Greatest Shave, raising all of this money that will go to people that have been diagnosed with a blood cancer, helping them to get through their lives, you know, while they're undergoing treatment. Keeping that all into perspective, but that one little bit of me that's being selfish is just thinking about the
things
that, oh my God, like, is the way I dress going to change? Is the way I do my makeup going to change? Like, do I have to wear more earrings now? Like, what? Well, I don't, like, I'm thinking all of these things. And it's just such a minuscule thing, right? But I think I'm more excited than anything. I kind of just want it to be done already, and I just want to, you know, have that change. But look, I'm very, very excited. And
it is very exciting. And it's going to change you in a different way. Like, you can't really prepare yourself for how, I mean, I'm just like reflecting on when I did it.
100%.
And tried to prepare for it. But there's really no way that you can. Like, it's just something you'll embrace in the moment and you'll feel all of the emotions from, I mean, even though you've got short hair and you're not fully shaving, you still are, you know, you're changing a part of your identity. You've had this same haircut for a very long time.
And the thing that scares me is, like, people know me for the Dom Bob, right?
Yeah. But that's okay. Like, we love a change. I went from really long hair last year, like, really long hair.
I know.
So, like, I cut it to my ears.
Yeah.
And the fun thing is, and, you know, the very blessed thing in this situation is you're cutting your hair to obviously raise money for a charity that you believe in, that your family has been affected by. But the blessing is that your hair will grow back and, you know, you get to feel what it's like to have a part of your identity changed, taken away. But by choice in this case, but it will come back. But you do get to experience that emotion, which is intense.
Yeah, I'm taking it all in my stride, honestly. Mm. I'm looking at this as a challenge. Mm. And I think, you know, last year, I think back to when I went in the jungle, that was a huge challenge, right? Mm. And how much that changed me, but for the better, and how much I grew as a person. And I just see this whole experience as a completely new, you know, it's just like going to the jungle, but in a different sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like I'm going out into the unknown again, and I'm really, really excited. And I'm super excited as well because we are actually going to Glamour on the Grid, which is down in Melbourne. It's the big event heralding in the F1, the launch of the F1 down in Melbourne, which is really, really exciting. Mm-hmm. And Glamour on the Grid is this like very cool fashion, like glamorous event. And I'm excited because it's going to be my first proper outing with the new hair.
Yeah.
Which is a whole new other level of fear and excitement in itself because I'm trying to style what I'm going to wear.
It's just so much fun, you know, like it is. It's so much fun. Like maybe I'll just put a wig on for the night just to change things up, you know, like it's exciting. You get to figure out what your new your style will probably change.
Yeah.
My style changed. Like, I mean, I went from having hair to a mohawk. So naturally, I dressed a bit more edgy. I dressed a bit more grungy and like a bit more tomboyish and like, you know, so your style will change.
Yeah. It's all very exciting. I mean, it just means I can get to go out shopping and have an excuse to, which we love that.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. And Glamour on the Grid, look, I went last year. The highlight of my night was probably I got to meet the Inspired Boys.
Very exciting. I hope they're there again this year. I'd love to meet them.
That was like when they were kind of booming, I think. Like that's when they were like really coming out and like everyone was talking about them and like, and that's where I met them. But apart from that, I mean, yeah, it's cool. Like that you get to see really cool fashion.
The people watching, that's what I'm going to be there for. Like obviously I'm so excited that we can go together and I think it's going to be even better because we'll be there together.
Together, yeah.
But for me, it's like the people watching, the fashion watching.
I went last year by myself.
Oh, well, that's probably, well, there you go, doll.
Like I was someone's plus one, but they were working. Like it was Jade, the makeup artist. So she was working the whole time. So I kind of, I mean, I bumped into some random friends
and you
that
make
like
friends.
I knew.
It's not like, you talk to everyone.
Yeah.
But it'll be really nice that we get to go in together and
James is coming. Yeah, we love that James is coming.
It'll be so, well, he can, you know what? He better kick his ass into gear and he can do our content for us. Thank you.
Oh yeah. James will probably be networking away as he does. Like,
as he does. Look, we love that, but he can also do our content. Thanks. All right. Otherwise we'll say he can only have one drink if he doesn't do our content.
Yeah. One drink only, otherwise you got to take out content for us, bro.
Yes. Well, we've come to that part of the episode, babe.
Yes.
What's trending for you?
Jeez, you're trending like crazy. That is so fetch.
What's trending? The past like few days, more or less, I've really been honing in on the planning of my 30th.
Yes.
So my 30th is coming up, and it's coming up really fucking quick. Like, I'm sorry. I don't even like every week I'm like, how are we at this date, this day?
I mean,
this
we're 2 weeks from Easter, and then it's literally a week after that. So there's not that long to go at all. I booked really my flights and a com this week. So I feel like I'm booked in. I'm ready. I haven't got an outfit.
Yeah, I haven't seen mine. Mine hasn't actually been made yet.
Oh, wow. Oh, yes.
So we're cutting it real close, you know. We're really playing with fire.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of planning going into this party. And, you know, it's really interesting because last week we spoke about weddings and, like, you know, how much it costs to have a wedding and the planning that goes into all that. And, look, I'm going to be honest, my 30th is pretty much a wedding. Like, it feels like that, the efforts, you know, the sign that I'm getting made.
Yeah.
And the catering and the cake and the costume and the theme. And, like, it's very – I've never planned a party before in my life. I've never thrown a party before. So
– you should just be surprised, cunts. We're fucking married.
I mean, that would be genius.
Wink, wink.
Wink, wink, that would be very genius. But it is literally like, I don't know how people do this. Like, I have an event planner. I wasn't even actually going to have an event planner. I was just doing it by myself.
And it just makes it that much easier, doesn't it? It's like, then, there you go, thank you.
Yeah, like I can't even remember who got me onto this chick, but I had a meeting with her and she was throwing all these ideas and I was like, this is why you get event planners, because they just have these little touches and these ideas. And
they
I'm
have
like,
all the contacts as well. It's like, they just, you know, you might have an idea, but you've got no way of executing it because you're like, oh, well, I don't know where to get a fucking,
I don't know where to go.
You know?
They make a call. Oh, yep, cool. Yeah. We've got that organized. We can get this for you. You know, we can try and get like a bit of a discount if you're going to do this. And I'm like,
yeah, great.
Oh my gosh. Like, this is amazing. So anyway, there's been, especially in the last like 4 or 5 days, a lot of planning going into it, you know, finalizing numbers. I know that when it comes close to parties, people tend to last minute can't come, which is fine. Like, I just want to have a good time. I just want to be 18 for the night.
Have
like,
you had anyone cancel on you yet?
There's been a few that haven't been able to like fully commit because of babies and like, you know, like some of them have just had their second as well, a few of them. So, and I'm like, you know, I totally get it.
Yeah,
it's a lot to ask. And I also have a feeling some of the more heavier pregnant friends may not come, not like my close friends, but some other friends that are invited. Yeah. But that's about it. There's going to be around, I think, about 80 to 85 people. Like, it's a lot of people.
Yeah, nice. And you know, when you like the most of the evening at the start, definitely you'll just be going around saying hi to everyone, making sure that you've actually said hello to everyone.
Yeah. And like now that I've got, you know, a fiance, like I adore his friends. His friends are legends. Like, I love all of them. They're all so nice. They're so fun. They're just good people. And I'm like, can you please invite like all your friends? Cause I love them. Like, I want them all to come. So, you know, the list got bigger when I, you know, got a partner, and you tend to sort of forget like what they also come with. And, you know, I can celebrate with their family too now, and because his family's my family. Yeah. So that's what's trending, is I'm turning 30 really soon. It's coming around really quick and I'm having a amazing 30th and I can't wait. But yeah, this week's definitely been like honing in, finalizing plans, locking in some surprises for everyone. Because I want everyone to feel like, I can't remember if I said this on the podcast or I've just said it to my friends, but like since coming into this industry, you know, we've gone to so many events and like my friends and my family, they see that I go to these events and I'm like, wow, was that amazing? Was that really cool? And I'm like, yeah, it's amazing. So I want my friends and my family to experience that. I want them to be like, oh my God, I'm going to this event tonight. Like there's,
yeah,
you know,
you've got to get dressed up and like all of that, like an actual occasion. Because I feel like in day-to-day life, we don't usually have like amazing big things to get dressed up and go to. So that's really, really lovely.
That was the main motivator why I wanted to throw a party. It was like, I'm only turning 30 once, fuck it. Like, let's just put on a show for everyone and they can leave the night being like, wow, that was like an event, you know?
Dope. I love that.
So that's what's trending for me. What's trending for you, babe?
Oh, look, I think definitely what's trending for me is the fact that I've started eating meat again yes. after 7 years. I finally had my first T-bone steak the other night, which – so there's this really fancy butcher near my house called Whole Beast, which, I mean, fuck, like that's – what an epic name for a butchery, Whoa. Right? And, like, you go in there and they're playing, like, heavy metal. It's in the inner west of Sydney, so Whoa. People that live in Sydney know. Anyway, I went in there and I was like – because, you know, before I left, I said to Jack, okay, what kind of steak should I get? Mm. He goes, get a T-bone steak because it'll be perfect on the barbecue. I'm like, okay. Yeah. So I go in there and I say to the guy, okay, so I need a T-bone steak that's for two people, whatever. He's like, okay, great. So he goes in the fridge and pulls out this meat, and the meat was like a bit darker and like almost like black. Okay. I didn't realize, so it was dry aged. I still don't know what that means, but
right.
it's meant to intensify the flavor. It also intensifies the price because the steak that I bought was $69.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't ask the price before. You know what it was? It was one of those moments where he, like, wraps it up, cut it up, wraps it, and tallies it and goes, that's $69. And I go, what?
$69.
I was like, oh yep, $69. You know those moments where it's like you're so embarrassed and so shocked that you just pay and shut up and fucking walk out?
Yeah, that $69. So, I mean, look, meat from the butcher is expensive.
It's expensive. And this is like really good grass-fed, fucking dry-aged.
Yeah.
Like, this is top-tier shit. This isn't like, you know, just, you know, Coles and Woolies, and which is nothing wrong with that either. But
I also feel like if you've been a veggie for as long as you have, like, you deserve to have a solid piece of meat.
Exactly. And that's I was just about to say that. Like,
yeah.
Obviously, I go to Aldi. Like, I shop at Aldi, guys. I always get my meat from Aldi and Woolies. I don't really go to butchers that often. Mm. Well, obviously, I've been vegetarian for 7 years.
Yeah.
But I thought to myself, for my first foray back into eating steak, because I've been eating mince meat almost every day. I've been making rissoles. I love me a rissole.
Yeah, I love rissoles too.
Rissoles. They're my new thing. I love them. I have them in a wrap. Yeah. Have them just on their own.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, if I'm going to have a steak, I'm going to have a fucking good steak. Anyway, it turns out the steak was amazing. The flavor was so intense of this meat, though, I will say that. And I'm like, babe, the flavor's like really intense. Like, I had to eat slow. He's like, yeah, it's dry aged. I said, well, no one told me dry aging means that the fucking flavor's more intensified.
What does dry aged meat mean? Okay.
I don't know.
Dry aging is the process by which large cuts of beef are aged for anywhere from several weeks to several months before being trimmed and cut into steaks. So it's a process that not only helps the steak develop flavor, which is why it tastes more rich, but also makes it far more tender than it would be completely fresh.
Interesting. Wow.
So it makes it taste better and it's more tender if it's dry aged. If it's
That's fair enough then, because that whole process would be more time and energy, and that's why it costs more. And obviously, it's grass fed and, you know, proper beef. Look, nothing against it that it's $69. For me, it's just like I'm thinking to myself, okay, but who is actually affording? Because how often do you eat meat?
Like, every
how
day.
Often are you having a steak though?
I'm having a steak probably on average 3 nights a week.
See, if you were eating a $69 steak 3 nights a week, it adds up. So in my head, I'm thinking, who's having that three nights a week?
We don't get our steak from the butcher like every week. I mean, look, some weeks we get like a couple and we might buy it in bulk and freeze.
Yeah.
But otherwise, like, we just get the macro or like the organic meat from the supermarket.
And even that's not cheap.
Well, it's not. It's not cheap. It's still like $19 or $20 for two small like beef eye fillet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Each.
Yeah, it's not cheap to eat meat. I'll tell you that right now, guys. But
it isn't.
That is my trending. And I do feel better, especially now that I am, you know, training at the gym 4 to 5 times a week and I want to make those gains. So, yeah, I'm eating the meats. I'm feeling better. I do think that my poos smell differently. I don't know if that's a fact or if I'm just thinking it.
Wow.
But I'm just putting that out there. I know TMI.
They probably do smell differently.
Yeah, well, it's meaty.
Well, and you know what's interesting? We had dinner with guys' friends, and they're a couple, and they went vegan. And they were big meat eaters, big meat eaters.
Really? From big meat eaters to going vegan? Because vegans, no cheese, dairy, eggs.
They wanted to just trial some stuff, I think, for their gut. Anyway, so they did, I think they went vegan for maybe like 6 months or something. It wasn't like a very long time. But he has said that his farts now don't smell. How weird's that?
Interesting.
Mm.
That is interesting. I've noticed that about, you know, going to the toilet. But yeah. I will say, if you are as a vegetarian or a vegan eating a lot of cruciferous, I can't say that word. If you are eating lots of broccoli, things that make you like, Brussels sprouts, gassy, even beans, your farts will stink with that. I'll tell you that right now because that's sulfur.
Well, they were eating a lot of like legumes and stuff. Mm. And then when they started eating meat again, they've both found that, their farts don't smell.
Well, look, I will say, like, I'm taking my probiotics, I'm taking all of that. My gut, like my regularity and all of that kind of stuff definitely changed the more I'm eating meat, which it's, I mean, look, my gut bacteria and my flora in there is obviously just getting used to eating
it,
meat again and like digesting.
Well, it's a big change.
Yeah, it's a big change. So with anything, like you've got to expect some kind of changes in your guts and all of that kind of stuff. But look, as a whole, I'm feeling a lot better and I'm really happy with the decision.
Good. And I'm glad.
Yeah, so it's a big trending for the both of us.
I can take you out for a fucking mad steak in Melbourne at Francois.
Oh, Francois, yes. I'd love to go to Francois and have a big fucking steak.
A big fucking steak. It's like really expensive, but it's really good.
Oh, my God. I love that.
Because whenever Dom and I go for dinner, I'm like, oh, she's veggie. Like, she can't appreciate this juicy steak from this beautiful steakhouse.
Which I've been craving. So, yeah. Well, we've now reached our main topic, which it's in our run sheet. It's main topic.
I feel like that's just
so formal.
We're trying to be a lot more professional here at Sit With Us, but I don't know how long that'll last.
Well, no, we will because we're going to be on it. But the main topic this week, as if that's what we're calling it, is the concept of the one. Is it real? Mm. What are people's feelings around this? You know, with rates of divorce going up, how the concept of the one, how has that changed historically? And what are our thoughts and ideas around the one? So I'm going to pose this question to you, Ella. Do you believe in the one? As someone who's recently bloody engaged, I mean, it's a bit of a stupid question.
Yes. Now, it's very on trend, and this is why this topic came up, and we were like, okay, this is great because it is very much what's going on in Dom and I's lives. We're both, you know, madly and deeply in love in really healthy relationships. So this is why it's a really great conversation to have now. And look, we might even have different views, and we've also both got very different experiences with love and relationships and, you know, marriage and divorce and situation. But we've got very different experiences.
Very experiences. And that's what I love about the podcast and love about our friendship is because we have so many different experiences and we can come together and give advice and stuff.
It is very interesting.
Yeah.
So, okay, the one. Do I believe in the one? It's a fucking trick question because if I'm just going to say a yes and no answer, then yes. But if I get to elaborate, well, then we can really talk about it.
Yeah.
So I have this theory, and this is just a made up theory that I'm going with from my experience and my life and what I get to witness and what I've grown up with and what I've seen and blah, blah, blah. So my theory is, you know, I was single for 10 years before being in love again. I was in love when I was 18, 17. I don't even know if we get to count that because I was so young. I didn't understand what love was. I didn't actually know. So I don't know if I even really get to count it. Mm. So let's just pretend that I haven't had experienced being in love until now. I have this theory. If you are older, as in my age, I'm going to be in my 30s for the next decade. If you find love and meet someone at a later age and you haven't been in love before, I feel like you have more of a chance in your love lasting because.
I like this theory so far. Please keep going.
This is my theory. Because I've spent the last 10 years on my own.
Yep.
Traveling the world. Losing friends, gaining new friends, career changing, situationships which have been tough, sadness, self-reflection, man.
A reality TV show?
Reality TV, like publicly shamed and heartbroken, humiliated, traveled the world again for a bloke. Like
all of the above.
You know, I feel like I'd really put myself out there for the past 10 years. But then I, you know, I came to a place where I was like, cool, maybe love isn't for me. So I just accepted the fact that maybe that journey's not for me. Maybe I'm not meant to be a mum. Maybe I'm not meant to have kids. Like I had all these thoughts, trust me. After every guy flaked on me, left me, didn't want me, I never felt like I was enough. Those were the thoughts all the time. When I finally just accepted, okay, maybe you're just not meant to be with someone right now. Just focus on you. Yeah. Then boom, fucking guy comes along.
Of course. And as it always does, right?
Right. And he's been under my nose this entire time for 7 years. You know, we've been friends, we've dated, we've done that. We know each other. We really do know each other very well. And so when we rekindled, it was like we didn't actually have to get to know each other again.
Yeah.
We were like the better version of ourselves, and we were adults because we met when we were kids, right? We were only 22. We were so young.
And I think people can really relate to that because I think a lot of people out there have been in relationships that don't work out, but then on reflection of that, they think, oh, in the future you look back and you think, oh, if I was my age now, that relationship would have worked because I'm so much more mature, or I would have been able to deal with that in a better way. So I think that's a really relatable thing. And it's just like, well, you know, things happen for a reason too. Mm. In that sense, because you were seeing guy 7 years ago and it just wasn't the right timing. Like you were at a different place in your life. You still had things, you know, God had that plan for you, if you want to call it that. I truly believe in that. Like I'm not a spiritual, I'm not a religious person really that much, but when I do believe, the one thing I do believe in is that there is a plan. Like you are meant to be, like when shit happens, you're In some fucked up way, you are meant to go through that shit. And well, I know that, I hate saying that.
Well, yeah,
but it's like, true.
And that's why I say, you know, in toughest times when everything is fucking falling apart and you feel like you are alone, there just has to be a silver lining. And that I speak from every time I have been, you know, like a crisis, whether it's I don't know what I'm doing with my life, I don't know what I'm meant to be doing for my career, you know. My family's going through a lot of loss. Like I feel like every really tough situation I've been through, there's been a silver lining. And that's why I just believe it. I just believe that there is always a reason and everything happens for a reason.
I couldn't agree more with you. And I think, you know, everything does happen for a reason. That's a really big, you know, motto of mine, and it's the way I live my life. Let's get into some of the statistics, I guess, for Australia specifically. The average age for marriage for females is 30.
Mm. Which is another thing that, like, I think is our generation that is
100%. Because if this was 30 changing. Or 40 years ago, it would have been the average age would have been about 23. Because my mum got married when she was, you know, 25.
So did mine. And that's with my dad.
And realistically, back in the day then, my mum says that was actually old. Because back then, a lot of her family was getting married at 19.
Wow.
So 24, 25, that's even late. And the average age for men is 32.
Mm.
Which is very interesting, and I believe that because I think men in this generation, I'm speaking from experience and just from seeing, you know, from my girlfriends and everything else, is that I do think that a large majority of men cannot settle down until they are in their mid to late 30s.
I agree.
I just think it's – there are a lot of – like obviously guy, he's not even 30 yet. He's got his head screwed on. But there are a large majority of men who for whatever reason it may be, because there are so many, you know, whether it is that they're having their fuckboy stage. They're just – they're not ready to settle down. They don't haven't bought a house. They want to just travel more. But I do think that mid to late 30s, men, that's the time when you grab them, because before that they could be going fucking around.
There's just a lot of figuring out, I think, that men need to do more than us as women. Like we are just so much more emotionally aware. You know, we talk about our feelings and our emotions and our desires and what we want. We talk about things so much more openly.
Yes.
Whereas it's kind of like our generation now of men are starting to do that more. Like obviously men's men communicating about their feelings is becoming more of a thing. And like, we've been in that transition and our generation have been in that transition.
Women have been talking about their feelings and their mental health for years. Men are just catching up now. So they're a little bit behind in that, but they always have been, which is totally fine.
Yeah.
The average marriage length before separation is 8 years. So obviously this is just an average of the whole of Australia, which very interesting. So 8 years probably, you know, gives you time to pop out one or two kids, one, you know. So that's sad. So, you know, large majority of that would mean that they'd probably have children, the kids are very young and they separate, which is really sad because I think that fucking sucks to see your parents go through a divorce when you're very young and you don't understand it. So that was the average marriage length before separation. The average marriage length before divorce is 12 years, which makes sense to me because as someone that's gone through a divorce, it takes a fucking long time. And if you add in children and if you add in, you know, assets and all of that kind of stuff, it takes a very long time to get all of your ducks in a row, get all your paperwork sorted. And also you've got to be actually separated for a whole year before you can actually file for divorce.
Wow, so that's so crazy.
It's a very long
process.
They,
like, want you to work it out. They want you to, like, give it 12 months to see if you still love each other.
It's kind of like that cooling off period, right, when you buy something. It's like, okay, so you've separated, but you need to give it a year just to really work out if you really do want to separate. And, you know, obviously going by these statistics, the people that can't make it work in a year really hate each other by then and then they have to go through a divorce. So it's either – you know, some people can work it out and others just hate each other more and it gets more dirty, which is what happened in my case. Haha, love that. Also, the statistics say that less people are actually getting married, but the rate of marriage is higher than the rate of divorce in Australia. So that's a silver lining to
know. That's a silver lining.
So that's nice.
And this was another thought as well, like for me and my theory, how, you know, you meet them later, you're more likely it will last. Do we think that if you meet them earlier, like, you know, and I'm not speaking from your mum's generation, I'm speaking from ours. Like, you know, my friends who have been married since they were 24 or 21, you know, are they more likely to end up with divorce?
I'd really love to see a study on that because, you know, I obviously know a lot of people my parents' age that have been divorced.
Same.
That also happens later in life, like when the kids are maybe a little bit older. So, yeah, obviously there is divorce in that generation, but I do think it'll be interesting to see in 10 to 15 years who of those people that got married so young are still going to be together. And I'm not, like, being fucking, you know, negative here. I'm not being negative, Nancy.
But it's the facts of
It is the facts.
And like,
these are literally, you know, yes, there are less people, you know, getting married, but the rate of marriage is higher than the rate of divorce. That's in Australia. But when it comes to the world, that's actually opposite. The rate of divorce is higher than the rate of marriage in the world as a whole, which is kind of scary.
It's kind of sad because it's sad, you know. And I tell you what makes me even more sad is you see these people who have been madly in love for years and then you hear, oh, they're getting a divorce. And you're like,
and it's always those ones where you think, oh, and I thought they were so good together.
Yeah.
But, and I'll just tell you guys, as from experience, you really don't know what happens behind closed doors.
I know.
And, you know, as much as your girlfriends, and even when it happens, like I know when it when my divorce happened, you know, your girlfriends, they think they know everything that's going on and they, you know, and then they're just so shocked when you say that you're actually getting a divorce and then they're in two minds and then your ex starts to try and fucking hassle them. Anyway, long story, that's not what this episode's about. But
the
concept of the one, I think for me, if you'd asked me maybe 10, 15 years ago, I would have been like, yeah, there's the one and I'll love them forever and I'll, you know, whatever. And then, you know, you go through a divorce and then you get a bit scarred from that.
Can you feel like you've had the one more than once, but then that doesn't make it the one?
I actually think that, yes, you can.
Yeah.
Because
That's what I think too.
The concept of the one, it is such a hard, oh my God, it's actually like, it's a mind fuck.
It is.
Do you not feel
is.
Mind fucked thinking about this? Because I really do. Because, you know, when we talk about like the animal kingdom and, you know, yes, there are certain species that mate for life and once the mate dies, they're alone forever. Yeah. Okay. But then there are others that, you know, have many, many partners. You know, they procreate with many, you know, think of lions and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They go and fuck whatever.
I know.
I mean, there are humans that do that too.
Well,
go
yeah.
for it. Love that too. But the idea of the one, I do think that it is a Disney fucking lie that we've been sold. I'm sorry. No one's getting their Prince Charming after they fall out of a fucking, you know, 10-story building and hold onto it with their hair.
And
Rapunzel, I'm looking at you.
And then I also think it really comes down to how much do you want your person or that person who you thought was the one, how much do you want them to be the one? Like, are you going to put in the work or are you just going to give up if things get tough?
Or are you just going to hope and pray that it's the one and you're like, oh, well, I'm just going to settle because I think he's enough.
Or that, yeah, in denial or just settle.
I think there's so much of denial and settling that goes into the one that people like to think, oh, this person is the one for me because of all these factors, then I'm going to just let it happen because it's, you know, it's all these factors playing in my favour.
Yeah.
You know, he owns a house, he can provide for me, or, you know,
well,
my parents get on with him.
Stuck and they feel stuck.
Well, yeah, that's a whole other thing. You can feel stuck and you can feel stuck for many, many years. And then you can still think, well, oh, I'm stuck now even more because I've had kids, I've got a house, I've got a bank account that's together. You know, I actually had someone recently DM me, someone that I've known for many years from school. She reached out to me because one of her work colleagues is just about to go through a divorce and this just got like all dropped on her like a giant block of shit. Three kids, a house. And she said, you know, wanted to ask you a few tips if you knew any good divorce lawyers or any books that helped you through. And, of course, you know, it's so sad to hear that, you know, especially when you're three kids, a house, all of this, and it's just been dropped on you like a huge bomb. And I told her, go and get Elizabeth Day's book, How to Fail, because that really got me through. It just puts a lot of things into perspective, but it also just really helped me get through my divorce and just and just knowing that there is no such thing as failures. Every failure is data acquisition and it's all going to help you in the long run. So if you guys haven't read that book, I really, really highly recommend it. It's amazing. Yeah. I mean, the one is it's a funny topic.
It's a weird thing, I think, as well. Like growing up, when I look back when I was young and dating and I was always like, I just want to meet the one. It's like back then you don't know what the one is.
You don't know what the one is, but you just know that you're meant to have the one.
Yeah.
You know? And we see that from movies, whether it be The Notebook, whether it be fucking Rapunzel or Beauty and the Beast or whatever, you know, all of those things that we've been shown growing up, it's like you're meant to. So, of course, you're going to just grow up thinking, well, oh, my God, all I want is my Prince Charming. Isn't that bullshit?
I know. It is. It is very bullshit. And we did put up a story because we wanted to hear from you guys what you thought about the one. And we tried to do a little like send us a voice message. And just so that you guys know, moving forward, we will actually play our favorite voice messages in future when we do these again. Because we really want to get you guys like involved on our podcast.
We really, really want you guys as listeners to be more involved in the podcast. So that's why we are implementing this now in our episodes. So please, for anything moving forward, if you want to send us a voice memo that you think it could be a good conversation starter, send it in the Facebook group, which is Sit With Us Podcast, or on our Instagram, of course, at Sit With Us Pod. I even got some in my DMs, but do you want to read out a few first, Doll?
Yeah. So I got one who was actually from a friend who I went to uni with. And I remember when we were at uni together, I was just so envious of her relationship because they were so happy. They were so in love and they'd been together since high school and she was still pretty young. Like I think at the time, it was going back like 4 or 5 years ago, she was only like 22 maybe or 20. No, I think she was like 19. Anyway, so she messaged me and, you know, she's been with her partner now 12 years.
Wow.
And they're not engaged or married or anything like that. And I think she's probably 23 or 24 now. And, yeah, she said 12 years with him this year, babe, I do believe in the one.
Aww.
And then I had another girl who sent me a bit of a long one, so we'll read it out. She said, I think talk of the one can be damaging, especially when people have made mistakes in relationships and things haven't worked out. You have the potential to pair successfully with a number of people. Just like Amen. You could be potentially, yeah, just like you could be potentially friends with most people. When people are too focused on trying to match with their one, the pressure can get too much. I have dated people who were convinced I was their one when I wasn't so sure, and I just found it creepy. Equally, I have thought people were my one and I was devastated when it didn't work out. I've now been with my partner for 8 years. I know I would be okay if I lost him, and I choose to stay with him every day.
I love this.
Yeah.
I love this.
He's not the only one I could potentially be with, but he's the one I've chosen to be with, and vice versa.
I just got full body chills.
Yeah. And I think that's like what I was saying, you know. It's how much do you want that one to continue to be that one, to fight for it, to show up for it, to, you know, fix things if things are fizzling or fading. So she's choosing for him to keep being her one. And I think that's what marriage is, and
that's what a healthy, functioning relationship is.
Yeah. And, you know,
choosing to show up, to be the one for each other.
Mm. That's really nice.
I love that. I love that so much. And that really comes back to the DM that I got, and I really love this one. Mick and I met 30 years ago this Sunday. We fell in love at first sight. We both felt it and voiced it by the end of our first meeting. I moved in 4 days later. We laid in bed smoking joints and listening to music for the first few months. We needed no one else.
Heaven.
Then we took off to Southeast Asia for a year and ended up in London. Now we live in St. Kilda with our three beautiful babies, 9, 19 and 22.
Wow.
We are quite proud of ourselves, as many of our friends' unions have ended. Compromise and space to let the other fulfill their dreams have been our mantra.
Wow.
Oh.
That's just like, I love all of that. I love hearing all of that, you know.
It's so beautiful, isn't it? I really, you
know. I just love that. I love it. And I'm like, I don't know your name, but I love.
I thought I'd keep it all anonymous because I feel like I don't know if people like to have their, you know, names
put out there. Maybe in the future if they want us to do a little shout out.
You let us know.
Yeah, you let us know.
Yeah, you let us know, guys, going forward. But I think.
Yeah, that's so nice.
Oh, my God. I love that we're just ending on such a beautiful, bright note.
It's really nice. You know, love is out there and we just love love, and we've always said that. And it's weird how some people just don't. Some people just don't really, you know, care for it as much or, like, don't need it as much. But I just love love, whether it's with your friends, your family, a new friend.
Yes, because I think we get so caught up sometimes with it being like a romantic love.
Yeah.
But there are so many other loves that you can have. You can love your barista who makes your morning coffee every morning. You can love, obviously, your cat or dog, your pet.
Mm.
You can love, you know, your neighbour for looking out on your house. We get so caught up with love.
Mm-hmm.
But if we have love in whatever form, that's what we should focus on, not the love that we don't have. It's the love that we have every day that we really need to focus on. And I love you guys, and I love that you listen to us every week. And I love you, Ella.
I love you.
And I'm just so glad that we ended this episode on a beautiful note.
Yeah.
And please, guys, do send us voice messages, DMs, reach out. Don't be shy.
Don't be shy. We won't bite.
Because we want to hear from you. Yeah. Don't forget our Instagram is at Sit With Us Pod, and our Facebook group is Sit With Us The Podcast. And keep an eye out on the Insta stories, and we will obviously reshare as well for our next week's topic. But we always love hearing from you guys. And we also shout out the Facebook group actually before we end this episode for the amazing tips and tricks for getting oil stains out of clothing.
Oh my gosh, I know. I just love that people actually like, that's when we know when episodes go live is because there's things coming in on the Facebook group, which,
And I love the Facebook group. It's just so amazing. I love the Facebook group. It always makes me smile. So if you haven't joined the Facebook group, please join us in there and we'll catch you guys next week.
We'll catch you guys next week. Have the best day.
Bye.
Bye.